Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and good morning to those on the other side of the United States. I'm here in Virginia. My name is Dafia Blunt, and welcome to Dafia Blunt Credit Consulting. Today we're going to talk about the different types of credit and how it impacts your credit score, your credit history, your credit report is in a whole. So we're also going to talk about joint accounts, individual accounts, authorized user accounts, how they can help boost your credit. We're going to talk about revolving credit, installment credit, and secured credit. And in case you didn't get a chance to listen to the show on Monday, we briefly covered the FDCPA and the laws to help protect the consumer. I know I said I was going to talk about the ones on creditor today, but I think that you guys kind of got the gist of it, you know, and you can always go online and look it up and, you know, pretty much read over it. It's pretty self-explanatory, and you will get a lot of information. I give you the source, and you just go out there and get the information. So the first thing that I want to say is, again, make sure that you keep up with your credit. You can always go to www.annualcreditreport.com and get your free credit report once a year or annually. That's the reason why it's called Annual Credit Report. And you can get all three bureaus, which is Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. They do not provide a credit score. You can always pay extra to get those if you want to take a look at where you stand right now. But they do provide all the information that you will need to see on those three credit reports. And I told you again, or last time, just make sure that your credit reports are consistent. All creditors do not report to the same credit bureaus. There are three, like I just said, and sometimes the information is incorrect. And we also went over last time how if you have credit with one company and they sell your credit profile to somebody else, or you know, or they have other accounts with your name on it, just make sure that you dispute that information, because you should only have one creditor reporting to your report for each instance, or, you know, each situation, or each file that you have. So you should only have that one reporting. So if you owe Verizon and then you see another collection agency and another collection agency report for the same amount that you owe, just go ahead and dispute those, and they'll just have the most recent one, because creditors always sell profiles to other collection agencies, or they hire collection agencies to collect for them or on their behalf. Okay, so we're going to jump right into this. And the first thing I wanted to talk about were the type of accounts that you can have. You can have an individual account, you can have a joint account, and you can have an authorized user account. An individual account is where you sign the contract for a product or service or whatever, and it's only your account. It's in your name only, and you're the one that's responsible for it. A joint account is when you're married or you have a contract with someone else. Say you're a co-signer for someone's car or vice versa. That's going to also report on your credit. So that's a joint account. And then there is an authorized user account. An authorized user account is when someone authorizes you to use their credit card, and whatever they do with the card, you might actually use the card, you might not use the card, but however they take care of their credit, it'll report on your credit report. So one of my clients, she, you know, was starting all over again, rebuilding her credit, and I asked her, you know, did her husband have any credit cards? Did her mom have any credit cards? And she told me her mom had a Discover card. So her mom had a $10,000 limit on her Discover card. So I asked her to ask her mom if she could put her down as an authorized user so that they can report on her credit. And it helped boost her credit score, because she had so much credit available that she started getting credit card offers from other places. And to date, she has an American Express card right now with no limit on it. And I worked with her for about a year and a half, and she started with like a 530 credit score. Now she's at 700. So she did everything that I told her to do. But these are things, if you know someone that you trust and you know they take care of their credit, they have good credit that's in your family, and you ask them, can you be an authorized user? You don't actually have to have the card in your hand and actually use it. You're just kind of piggyback riding off of their good credit to help you build and reestablish your credit. So that's one good thing that you can do as an authorized user. But again, if that person slips up or has a problem or, you know, missed payments, that's also going to report on your credit as well. So you just have to make sure that you keep an eye on those things and that you're up to par on what's going on with that credit account. Now, let's talk about the different types of credit. I want to talk about revolving versus installment credit and secured credit. When people hear secured credit, they kind of run. Well, you know, what is secured credit? Secured credit is like furniture. If you have an account with a furniture company and you go, you know, you go out, you pay a certain amount of money, you put down a certain amount of money, you get your furniture ahead of time. It's not like layaway at Walmart or Kmart. You get your furniture then, and then you make payments. That's a secured account because they secure it with the furniture. If you miss a payment, guess what? They're coming to pick up the furniture. So that's pretty much a secured account. Another type of secured account is a secured credit card account where you're actually putting your money up to open this credit card. So if you send a company $500 and they start a credit card for you, your account limit is going to be $500. That's going to be your limit. Whatever finance charges they charge, whatever fees they charge to maintain the card for you will come out of that balance, of course. But it's your $500. And what they actually do is they put the $500 in a savings account that accrues interest, and then they let you borrow on your own money. Now, a lot of people are probably listening and saying, well, that don't make sense because, you know, how is that helping me? How is it helping you is showing that you can maintain a good payment history. That's the whole purpose of a secured credit card, to show a payment history, and that's what people look at. They want to make sure that you can make your payments on time, regardless if it's $10 a month, $25 a month. It doesn't matter. They just want to see a good payment history, and then they will start extending credit out to you. So if you have that $500 card, just think about it. Put your money in the bank. If you got the same $500 sitting in your savings account drawing interest, why not put it on a credit card that has that's going to report to three credit bureaus and show that you have $500 sitting out there that you're really not using? You might use it for gas and then pay it off again, but it's showing that you can use credit. You know, you could basically you're using credit in a good way, that you're not abusing your credit. So it'll show that you're using the credit, and it shows that you're paying everything back on time, even though it's your money. Now, again, maybe after a year, most credit card companies that you have secured accounts with, they will send you your money back with the interest that was accrued on it, and then you will still have that same $500 credit limit available through them, because then they're trusting you. You know, not with your own money, they're trusting you with their money, and they're extending that credit to you. So that is why most people get secured credit cards, to help build their credit, because they can't get any other credit cards if they have bad payment history and things of that nature. They'll start off with a secured card. Now, there are cards out there that you can start at least $200 to start off with, and most of the time I suggest that people go through the bank that they're banking with to try to get that secured credit card, or, you know, a line of credit through the bank that you're banking with, because, you know, you can easily make payments by transferring the money to the card. And also, usually with your own personal bank, they're quicker to extend credit to you than an outside creditor, because they see the money that's coming in and out of your bank account, and they see how you spend your money, your spending habits and things of that nature. So I tell people to usually go straight through their own bank and see if they offer a secured credit card, and, you know, help boost their credit that way. Now let's talk about installment credit. Installment credit is kind of like when you buy a car. You have a certain amount that you have on the loan, just like student loans. You have a certain amount that you have on the loan, and they figure out how long it's going to take you to pay it off, and then they set a certain amount of payment for you. So the payment doesn't change ever. and your credit doesn't go up. They don't extend you more credit than what they already approved you for. So that's an installment account because you're making installment payments to pay this debt down. And even when you pay the debt halfway down, it doesn't mean that you still have $5,000 available because it's not that type of an account. It's an installment account. Now, installment accounts don't do that much for your credit. They do show payment history, just like I was saying before. So that's always a good thing, but that's a slow way to build your credit report. The biggest way to build your credit reporting score is with unsecured credit, revolving credit cards. So if you have a card through Walmart or, you know, a Visa credit card or whatever that's not secured, that's the fastest way to build your credit because they actually make up like 30% of your score. So if you have a credit card and you have a $500 limit, we'll use $500 again, you have a $500 limit on this credit card and you pay $25 a month, what I usually tell people is go ahead and kill two or three birds with one stone. Use your credit card to pay your bills, like your light bill, your gas bill, maybe your car payment, your car insurance, anything that you're going to have to pay anyway. And then turn around and pay it all back off on your credit card because it's showing the usage and it's also showing that you have enough expendable money to pay the whole card back off every month. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's showing payment history. It's showing, you know, good credit usage. And if you got to rob Peter to pay Paul, then go ahead and pay at least 75% of the balance down. Wait till the card bills out. So if your bill is due on the 20th, make sure you make that, you know, 75% of the payment, pay the lump sum on the card, and then it bills out maybe 3 or 4 days later. So around the 24th, 25th, you know, your card will bill out. It'll bill out at the amount that you just paid. So it'll show you have all this credit available. And then as soon as it bills out, that same day or the next day if you want to, you can go and then use that money to pay your bills with it. So you can kind of beat the system that way because the only thing the credit report reports is what the credit company bills out. So when they send your bill, whatever balance that you have when they bill out, that's what they report to the credit bureau. It doesn't report 25 times a month. It doesn't report every time you use the card. So if you went and you spent that money as soon as it been billed out, they won't know anything. So the next month, you just do the same thing all over again, and it looks good on your credit report, even if you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. So at this time, I'm going to open up the line and allow you to ask any questions that you may have. And if you have any questions for me, go ahead and press 1, and we could get right to your questions and keep it moving. Okay. So let me also talk about this as far as the revolving credit. The reason why revolving credit is so important on your credit report is because you can use it again and again. So think about it. If a creditor looks at your credit report and they say, she's had this card for a while and she's never went over the credit limit, she's always made her payments on time, whether it was the minimum payment or not, you know, and she has this amount of credit available. That's the reason why it's so important because they do something that's called a debt-to-income ratio. Debt-to-income ratio is basically telling them that you could pay all your current bills according to how much money you make, and you still have this amount of expendable money to spend. So I don't care if you make $40,000 a year, but if you got credit cards and you max all your credit cards out, they're looking like she's a credit risk or he's a credit risk because he's making all of this money, but apparently they still need to use these credit cards to get through. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like your cards are maxed out. If you got a $500 limit and you use $475 and you're making these minimum $25 payments, that doesn't look good. Because it looks like you're making good money, but you're obviously not budgeting your money well because you're using your credit cards to the max So that's what creditors look at when they're ready to extend or offer credit to you. They're looking at, well, you should have at least, you know, 70% of the balance available. You know what I mean? Because if you're using all of that credit as well as making this money, then you're having a tough time paying your bills. And they don't want to get into a situation where you're going to default on your payment or you go over the credit limit and then all these other fees take place at that time. So that's the reason why revolving credit is so important. Now, when I say revolving credit, that's not always just credit cards. You can have a line of credit through your bank, or you might have another company that offers you a line of credit, because there's a lot of places out here today that offers credit, like Avant, it's AVANT, that you can go get a loan from them, like $2,500 or something like that, depending on how much you make and how much of that goes towards bills, of course. Again, they're going to look at your credit for that. But if you use $2,500 and then you start making your payments and you're paying $200 back a month, that credit is still available for you to use. That's a standing amount that they're giving you as credit. So even though you're paying the balance down, if you ever need to get that money back and, you know, use it again, then you can use it again. It's still available to you. That's still revolving credit. So it's not always credit cards, just any type of revolving credit account where you have an open credit line that you can use something, pay on it, and still have that credit available. So that's always a good thing to have, revolving credit. So I have a client, well, not a client, I'm sorry, possible client. But anyway, I have a caller. I'm going to let them in. Area code 503.
What's going on?
What's up, WGW3?
So you're saying the revolving line of credit is better than the other line of credit, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Because I'm trying to, you know, get my credit right, because one day I'm going to want a house of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I got credit good enough probably to buy a Snicker bar.
You think? You're talking about the regular size or the king size?
No, we talking about like the little baby size. Fun size.
You're a mess. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what I would suggest to you is, like, I have a couple of credit cards that people, you know, with bad credit or, you know, fair credit, trying to rebuild credit. I have a couple of credit card companies that you might want to write down and apply for these credit cards. So I would suggest that you don't apply for more than three at a time, because each inquiry will drop your credit score about 2 points because it's a hard inquiry. So the whole point is to try to build your score up and not bring it down. But one card is called Total Card, T-O-T-A-L, Total Card. Another card is Credit One Bank. And then another card is Milestone.
Milestone.
They're also Milestone. There are also cards out there like Capital One. They're pretty good at helping rebuild and reestablish credit. Fingerhut is a good account to get. Everybody remembers Fingerhut from back in the day. Anybody could get anything on Fingerhut. Even though now you might not want to get anything on Fingerhut, you get a Fingerhut account, they'll start you with like a $300 limit. I promise you, if you pay your payments on time, by the end of the year, you'll have like $1,200 credit limit. And as every time your credit limit goes up, your score goes up. Guess why? It's more available credit. So even if you don't want to buy anything from Fingerhut, go on and get you some dishes or some curtains, anything, and just show them a good payment history. And I promise you.
Get your mom some dishes for Christmas.
You get your mom some dishes for Christmas. You can go ahead and do some early Christmas shopping.
I'm going to get us some other mitts. Yo, so, let me ask you a question. Then, what happens if I apply to these credit card companies and I still get turned down and they're the worst ones? Does that mean my credit is like some bullshit?
the credit companies that I gave you are usually the credit, you know, bad credit card companies. They usually charge you like a processing fee and an annual fee, and they take all of that stuff off of the card before they even send it to you. So if you start off with a $300 credit limit, by the time they send you the card, you might have $200 available to use because they took their fees out up front. So what are they actually losing? Nothing. You know what I'm saying? But the whole point is to build your credit. So it doesn't matter. You just had to take one for the team. You know, go ahead and pay them fees, use the $200, and maybe, you know, pay a bill or something like that. But you just they just want to see the good payment history. And then eventually those fees will drop off once they start seeing that you know how to pay your bills on time. They're just giving you a chance. They're like second chance credit cards. So, and if you can't get a credit with them because maybe you had them before and you filed bankruptcy or you just had a charge off, you didn't pay them, then I would suggest to go with the secured credit card. Even if you start with a low balance like $200, you might eventually be able to, you know, send $50 here and there once a month to build up your credit limit, you know what I mean, and then use a little bit of that money at a time, like I said, and then you could beat the system by, you know, as long as you have a certain amount paid before it bills out, you could turn right around and use that money back.
All right. All right. But don't they usually have unusually high interest rates?
Mm-hmm. And that's why you try to pay the balance off before it bills out, because they can't bill you on zero.
Okay.
You feel me? So you're actually beating the system. Again, they can only charge you finance charges on the balance, and that's when it bills out. So they don't charge you a daily rate like, you know, your car loans and stuff like that, which are installment loans. They don't charge you a daily rate. They charge you monthly. So your monthly, you know, rate might be 19%, but you're not going to pay that if your balance is only, you know, $50 on a $500 card. You're going to only pay it on the $50.
Yeah, okay.
So that's all how right. you beat them with that. You beat them at their own game.
I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
You see a light at the end of the tunnel?
I just hope it ain't a train.
A train. You silly. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, credit cards can be your friend if you know how to use them. You know what I mean? And like I said, you can always be, if you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, just, you know, your light bill is due, you know, on the 27th, and this credit card is due on the 20th, but they bill out on the 24th, boom, pay the credit card off with the same money you was going to use for your light bill, and then let them bill out and show the credit report that you don't owe the credit card nothing or hardly anything, and then turn around and use your card and pay your light bill and do it again next month.
Yeah, that is, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's just basically how that works. And, again, if you know anybody with good credit, like your parents or your sister or your spouse or, you know, significant other, and they have good credit, they have credit card, you know, limits of $2,000-$3,000, be like, hey, you know, I need some help. I need you to help me out. Can you put me down as an authorized user on your card? And they'd be like, oh, hell no, I ain't letting nobody use my credit. You know, this, that, and other. You say, listen, I don't need the card. They're not going to send me a card. I just want to help rebuild my credit and show a good payment history. You know, even though you're the one making the payments, you know, just kind of help me out to help rebuild my credit. And as soon as they do that and they see on your credit report, boom, you're authorized user on a $3,000 account, they don't know who's using a card. You got to understand, it's just a credit reporting agency. They don't know who's actually using a card, because sometimes authorized users can have access to the card. Like with my daughter, I have her on my account. So she's not using my card, but she's getting the, you know, she's benefiting off of me paying my stuff on time. So that's helping her build her credit score. When she does apply for a credit card, they'll probably end up giving it to her just off of my payment history.
Okay.
Yes. So the best type of credit to get is a revolving credit account. The installment credit accounts do help, again, like a car, you know, car note and things like that. They report every month. And let me tell y'all something about that. Let me go ahead and give y'all the juice. The juice about that is, as long as you don't go past 30 days past due, you might be a little bit late paying your car payment and you freaking out, just like your mortgage. You freaking out because, oh, my God, you know, I'm going to be late with my car payment this month. You know, I don't know what to do. As long as you're not 30 days past due, they do not report to the credit bureau. The only time they report is if you're 30 days past due. So if you get to the 29th day and pay your car payment, once they bill out, it's going to show that you're still paying your payments on time. And a lot of people don't know that. They freak out because they think they don't know the system. As long as you're not 30 days past due on any credit, that could be your credit card, your car payment, you know, student loans, anything, nobody can report you as being late until you have been 30 days past due. So don't freak out.
I know one car company reported me because I was 7,000 days past due, and I thought that was a
Did
little
you
much.
You say 7,000 days?
Yeah.
You know what?
Like 6 years past due.
You know what? Here come that train you was talking about, that train that you said. You hope it wasn't the train. Here come. I'm telling you. You a mess. Yeah. But
I'm going to try that, see if it works.
Let me know, and, you know, keep me abreast. Huh?
And if it don't work, I'm going to come back and tell everybody it ain't working.
Yeah, and the lies you're going to be telling, because I know it worked for a fact.
And then if it do work, I'm going to call back and ask, you know, you put me as an authorized user on your credit card to help get my credit back. So.
Not going to happen, never. In my new voice from ATL.
But you so, just said, ask a friend.
I did.
Ain't you
I
my
did
friend?
Say ask, yes, I'm your friend. To the end, like Chucky. But if I do it for one, I might have to do it for all. So if you was planning on doing that, you should never say that on the show. You should just ask after we got off the phone.
Yeah, you're going to have 20 people.
Not going to be able to do it. Not going to be able to do it. But, yeah.
If you do have an authorized user on your card, they don't penalize you for having another authorized user?
No. Because think about it. A lot of people who have credit cards, they put their kids on there so the kids can go and use the card when they want to, or their spouse, or, you know, anything like that. So, like I said, it's a credit reporting agency. They actually don't know, you know, who's using the card. They don't know if your child is actually using the card or not. All they know is the card is being paid on time, and they don't care.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the question I have for today. Hi, Dean. That's all the question I got for today.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Peace out.
All right, anybody else have any questions before I close this segment up? Go ahead and press 1 and let me know. So no one else has any questions, so I'm going to go ahead and close this segment up. We covered joint accounts, individual accounts, authorized user accounts. We covered secured credit, revolving credit, and installment credit, and how they affect or impact your credit score. What I said was to try to apply for, you know, credit cards or try to get a secured card to show your good payment history. And if you can, you might even be able to get some type of store credit card, like Walmart, JCPenney are pretty good with, you know, the store credit accounts. Even if they start you with a small balance, everybody got to start off somewhere. You might have to crawl before you walk. But as long as you take care of your credit and pay your payments on time, then don't worry. You know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So I just want to close this segment up by saying thank you, everyone, for listening in, everyone who called in. And I will see you again next Monday. I don't know what we're going to be discussing yet. It just depends on what people need to hear. So thanks again for calling, and be blessed.